donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back. And are they both here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there. Is that you, Ken?
No, it's Roland.
Okay, Roland is here, and it's Ken here. Okay.
Ken will be in a second.
All righty. I think, Ken, if you're listening, Ken's calling the wrong number. He's trying to get a hold of me. So, anyhow, Roland, you guys had a big, something big and very important happen. Tell us about it.
Yeah, all right. You know, I mean, I was, the Supreme Court justices denied my petition. You know, there were allegations the election was rigged, and there were allegations that the people who were claiming there were allegations the election was rigged was interruptions. And there was no investigation. They voted against investigating it. And that's what I was a little perturbed about. So my brothers and I got together and filed a lawsuit against the members of Congress and the president and vice president for voting to thwart the investigation. And it broke their oath of office. And a lot of people don't realize that this was actually an act of war. You know, you're probably wondering what I'm talking about when what happened was an actual act of war. Okay? Well, let's talk about that. An act of war accomplishes one thing. It puts into power their victor. And if there's a rigged election, it's the same intent to put in its power as a victor. So there were allegations January 6, 2021, that there was interference in the certifying of the vote. The Democrats were accusing the Republicans, interfering with the vote, with the certifying of it by wanting to stop everything and conduct an investigation. The Republicans were accusing the Democrats for rigging the election. And so they decided to put a vote on the floor to see if they wanted to investigate it. Well, my lawsuit with my brothers and I got together to create was because most of them voted to thwart the investigation. And so to make a long story short, my lawsuit that started out eventually went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court denied me a hearing. And that just doesn't sit well with me. Did you know that when you go to the Supreme Court, you actually have to get permission to have a hearing? A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
In lower court, you can file a complaint, and you know, you'll get a hearing. You'll get heard, you know. But in the Supreme Court, you have to do what is called a petition, a writ of certiorari, asking the court permission to have your case be heard. Well, they denied me twice. So I thought I'd do something about it. And you're probably wondering what I did about it. Am I right?
You're right.
Now, I had a thought. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to act like you don't know the answer to it, okay? I just want you to patronize me, okay? It goes like this. I thought to myself, and I'm going to ask you this. Does a Supreme Court justice by themselves have power or influence over a lower court? That was the question. Now act like you don't know the answer. Say, I don't know, Roland, because I'll tell you.
I don't know, Roland. Okay, there you go.
Great question, I'll tell you. No, they don't. By themselves, they're just like me and you. And I thought to myself, why don't we put that to the test? Because I was talking to people. I was talking to my brothers. I'm like, wait a second, it just dawned on me that a member of the Supreme Court justice does not have any power over a lower court. You know what this means? And they're like, what, Roland? What are you trying to get at? I'm saying, you can actually file a lawsuit against an individual member of the justice, and then have to hire an attorney, either that or represent themselves. Did you know that? I didn't realize that. I've never seen a situation like that. You know? They're like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, I think you can. So guess what I did?
Let me guess. You filed lawsuits.
Guess what I did?
And
I
go ahead.
Decided to pick the three members of the Supreme Court justice that I felt absolutely voted against my petition for a hearing. And the three that I really felt confident about, and I filed a lawsuit against the three of them in the federal court here in Salt Lake City. Now, you're probably thinking that's probably a crazy move to make. Am I right? Maybe an insane one? I mean, who in their right mind would do something like that? You know what I'm saying? So, now, the federal judge. Now, here's what's interesting, okay? And I want to get your reaction to this. I really want to hear your reaction. The federal court judge issued a court order telling Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, that they have 30 days to respond to my complaint or they would be removed from office.
Wow.
Yeah, so guess what they did? Guess what the Supreme Court justices did?
Let me guess. They responded?
Well, yeah. Huh?
They responded?
Yeah. They actually complied to the court order. They lawyered up. and they responded. Now, this is what I thought was interesting. This is what took me back, because I really wasn't sure what was going to happen. I really wasn't sure how they were going to respond. I mean, I've never seen this before. I'm watching this. They responded with a motion asking the judge to please do not allow this case to go forward. And in so many legal-type terminology, they were explaining to the judge that they're just too important for a lawsuit like this. That they got important things to do. That their office and position was higher than my reach. And that they should be immune to my lawsuit. And they're asking the judge permission, which means that they're giving my judge, Salt Lake City Federal Court judge, the authority to make the final decision. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm wondering what the final decision was.
Yeah, me too. So here's the deal. Because we're in court now, we are now battling it out. The three members of the justices, are now subject to the decision of the judge. So now I have an opportunity to file an opposition to that, which is what I'm doing right now. Me and my brother Darren, he's like the legal expert of the family. He does not have a license to, you know, he's not an attorney. None of us are attorneys. We just studied, and he studied a lot. We're preparing an opposition to the motion to stop my case. Now, here's what's interesting. If they are successful at stopping my case, I can appeal it to the appellate court, to the Circuit Court of Appeals. And if I lose there, I can appeal it. You're probably wondering where I can appeal that. I want you to take a big wild guess where I can eventually appeal this case.
Right, to the Supreme Court, right?
Bingo. Yep.
And they have to recuse themselves because they're defendants, right? So I've gotten rid of the three opponents to my case, and I've got six of them. That all I need is four votes. Four votes of the Supreme Court that will give me permission to have a hearing on whether they should be removed from office or not. That's if I lose. That's like the worst case scenario, is giving, you know, Jason Roberts and Clarence Thomas and those guys an opportunity to hear the case. I'm going to be handing to them, because it's a pleading, the power to, like, well, why don't we hear this case? And I'm not sure what they're going to do. I really am not sure. Now, what I did with my brother, we actually gave them now I've got a direct communication with the three Supreme Court justices, a direct communication, because now it's their attorney. I think her name is Amanda. We can talk to her attorney, and the attorney can talk to her clients, which are the three Supreme Court justices. And I did a settlement offer. And that is, if you hear my case, which you guys denied, I'll drop my lawsuit against you. You know, they have to have a reason to want to negotiate wouldn't they? Well, they don't have one right now, but if they lose their motion to stop my case from going forward in the federal court, they lose. I just want you to take a wild guess of what I can do. I'll give you a clue. It's called interrogatories and depositions, which means that if my federal court judge allows this case to move forward, I can go to Washington, D.C., and with a court order, those three justices have to sit across the table and answer my question.
I love it.
Well, that's amazing.
Where did you find that information?
It's pretty wild, don't you think? I mean, I've been reading and I've been studying Supreme Court dockets and how they work and the justices of what they can and can't do. And I figured it out. There was actually no rule that I looked up. I figured out just by the pattern of what they did and figured out what they could and couldn't do, and I wanted to put it to the test.
Let's go back, Roland, to January 6, 21, when, you know, because we've had people calling on this radio program telling us that Mike Pence had no choice, what he had to do, and that's, we know, is wrong. There's a term called misprision of treason. Tell us what that term means.
Oh, misprision of treason means you have full knowledge of a crime, full knowledge of a felony, and you don't do anything about it. That right there.
Then you're considered a part of that treason, aren't you?
Exactly.
Correct.
Now
you're part of the guilty party.
Now let me ask you this then: was Josh Hawley, Jim Jordan, and a number of other congressmen and senators standing, Ted Cruz, standing in front of Mike Pence, holding in their hands all of the documentation, all of the evidence of treason? Were they doing that right there?
Yeah, actually they were, yeah. But here's the thing. Right there, when they were holding up all that evidence, okay, the liberals were accusing Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Par Gorsuch of lying. Now hold that thought.
Yeah.
That in itself, if they were lying, that's interference with the election. That's an attempt to interfere. Which means that they should have been investigated for their, quote, lies. You understand how that works?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and so the Democrats are like, you guys are lying. You're making up all this stuff. You're trying to interfere with the election. Well, that's fine. Okay. What are you going to do about it? You're going to break your oath of office and not do anything about it? I mean, that's a pretty serious accusation, don't you think?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking a Democrat, I forgot the name, stood up and says, Madam Speaker, listen, Mike Pence, listen, this is an act of treason. Ted Cruz, Paul Gorsuch, those guys, this is an act of treason, what they're doing. And we should ignore that. I'm thinking, excuse me, how about conduct an investigation on their so-called act of treason that you, as a member of the Congress, accuse them of, all the more reason to conduct an investigation. So this whole thing has nothing to do with a rigged election. Has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with you voted, you intentionally voted to thwart the proposed idea of an investigation, the proposition of an investigation. That right there was the crime. You know what I'm saying? Can you dig what I'm saying? We're getting an amen on that.
Amen. Well, you know, here, first of all, oh, there was treason committed, high treason, all right, but it was all right from the Democratic Communist Party. Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, all of these people were involved. That mayor of D.C., all of them were involved up to their eyeballs in high treason and murder. And that council, what they call the select committee, every one of those people on that committee should be sitting right now in that dirty, filthy D.C. jail where the Patriots are at.
Let me add to that. The solution here is the oath of office. If everyone had, they were compelled to keep their oath of office or be removed from their office, you wouldn't have any of the problems you're telling me about.
Amen.
So my brothers and I are thinking to ourselves, you know, and the thing of it is, you guys, I mean, you know, intelligent people are the ones who get depressed. You know what I mean? It's like they're the ones that are aware of the crap that's going on, okay? And I think I think some of the most depressed people in the world are the ones who realize, oh, my gosh, there's all this darkness going on. So by nature, we love solutions. And that's why we believe in God. We have to. We are compelled by the nature of things to trust God. And I want your opinion on this. I'm going to ask you guys a question, okay? Does God want us to trust him?
Oh, absolutely.
How bad? I mean, how important it is for us to trust the Almighty God?
Well, you know what? There's an old saying, trust and obey. There's no other way, right?
Right.
And so,
there's no other way.
Yeah, well, it's very important because a number of passages of Scripture, when you hear the word fear not, that means to trust in God. When he's telling you to fear not, that means he's got it, you know, trust in him. And that word fear not is said 366 times in the Bible, 366 times we're told to fear not.
Isn't that kind of a clue?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, right now, God's in charge. Do we all agree on that? Are we on the same page? He's in charge?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, he inspired the Constitution, right? Inspired this country, right? And he also listens to prayers. Don't we know just by the evidence that probably the majority of this country are praying for the salvation of this country?
Yeah.
Would that be a fair, sort of accurate assumption?
I don't think it would be. The majority of the people in this country are not saved. If the majority of the people were saved and were praying to God, we wouldn't be in a condition we're in. Mm-hmm. And so, but there's...
I wonder, it's because they don't know. They don't have the solution. They don't know how to be saved. They don't know how to call upon God. But they're wanting to, I think.
Well, a lot of them, yeah. You know, as far as
in other words, they want a solution. Do you agree with me on that?
Well, they know things are wrong, but they don't know why, because of biblical illiteracy. He tells you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Exactly. Biblical illiteracy is a kiss of death. And underneath it all, most of us in America, I know that the conservatives in this America aren't going to peace completely with peace of mind. They're praying, God, please save this country. Please. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to a movement of what's going on, let me tell you, the conservative crowd is not diminishing. The past 3 years, I guarantee you, they have grown. The liberal community has not grown.
Right.
And that's where it's headed. There's been no transparency has been amazing the past 3 years. I mean, you know, it's been frightening. But, and here's what I'm trying to get at, okay? My brothers and I are together, okay? We're talking, okay? What would be the solution to all the problems in government? Because there's a ton of them. I mean, I can sit there and listen to you. You build a list, a lot of crap that's going on in this government. You're very well at that. One thing, what would it be? What would be the Achilles heel? You know, the Achilles heel that would take out the Death Star. It would take out the giant, you know, and it would bring him to his knees. And we were prayerful about this, and we pondered this, and we came to the conclusion, and I want your opinion on this, okay? I want your input on this, okay? When I mention this to you, if everybody kept the oath of office.
Bingo.
Right, but here's the thing right now, Roland. Not everybody has taken that oath of office. You have seen some out there where it's out there for public appearance, but it is not registered. They have never signed that paper, put their signature there that, yes, I agree to this oath of office in writing. And you have a whole
oath of affirmation.
Right.
Right. Has to be signed.
And it hasn't. A lot of them, in fact, right now there's no evidence that Kamala Harris has signed her oath of office. There's no evidence. Sure. Half of Congress has signed that.
What if they did?
Well, if they did.
If they signed it, what if they did three things? They subscribed it, they said it, they swore it, and they lived it. Patronize me here for a second. I know I'm in la la, but just patronize me. If they were compelled to do so, knowing that if they didn't, they would be caught, they'd be imprisoned, and they would lose their office permanently. Okay? What would this country look like?
Well, obviously, if they kept their oath of office, they would be a lot more honest than they are, wouldn't they?
Yeah. What kind of a country would we have?
One like we used to have when they did keep their oath of office.
Yeah, one we used to have when there was no debt, we didn't have the 16th Amendment, and we didn't have the doggone IRS, which is a collection agency for the English bank. You're absolutely right. So I got a solution here, man, a possible solution, right? And I'm pretty pumped up about it, okay, about how to make it so they keep the oath of office. And here is the game plan. And this is where we, the people, can get involved, because let me tell you something.
You're the only
person that's in La La Land. I believe that everybody, there's a lot of people that want to do something about it. We just don't know how. They just don't know what to do. Am I right? Am I right about that?
You're right about that.
You're right.
Absolutely. You're talking to people like that every day. They wish they could do something. We feel guilty when we're not doing it. We feel like we're complacent. We hear the words apathy. And we're like, I don't want to be guilty of that. I want to do something about it, right? And we're thinking that if we have to do something about it, we have to go out there and offer our lives up. Well, I have a solution here, and I'm going to talk to you guys about that and bounce it off. You tell me what you think, all right? You take me on if you can, man. You challenge me here. I don't mind that one doggone bit. But the power in this nation, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you challenge me on what I'm about to say. The power in this nation is not the president. It's not even Congress. It's the judge, the judges.
Well, yeah, you have that, the judicial, and there is where, again, the opposition has gotten into, and they're working hand in hand with the intelligence agencies there. The intelligence agencies, they're the one, they put the fear into the judiciary, but the judiciary is been corrupted. So you would start with that. You would start with the CIA, the FBI. Remember, the people that wanted to get rid of the CIA, like JFK, like Ronald Reagan, in fact, Donald Trump, what happens? They're coming after them. So you have to start with the intelligence agencies and then go after the judiciary.
You know what? I wondered about that. Let me share with you a thought, okay? What if, instead of going after them first, what if we went after the judges, and the judges kept their oath of office, and the judges were considered to keep things clean? What would happen to the CIA?
Well, here's the thing. The problem of it is we need these judges. We need honest judges to help get rid of the CIA or the FBI. But again, it goes back to the same problem you're having. Those intelligence agencies put the fear into those judges. But if we get some bold judges that would say, okay, you know what, Christopher Wray, I'm going to bring you before my court. You know, he's going to get charged and hauled into that court, even if they have to send out the officials from the court to bring him in. State troopers, whatever.
There you have it. You nailed it, man. If the judges kept their oath of office, if the judges were straight, if the judges, call me, you know, accusing me of being in La La Land. But patronize me here for a second. If you could rely on the judges, it would end the power of the CIA. The judges issue court orders. There's nothing more powerful than a court order because, let me tell you, the executive branch, their job, you know, the police force, is when they arrest someone, you know, they temporarily contain them in prison, but the judge has the power to release them. The judges, they oversee all prisons in this country. You can't keep a person in prison if the judge orders them to be released. So you've got the CIA trying to be corrupt, but if you've got citizens here that are filing complaints against members of the CIA and the judges pay attention to that, the judges offering court orders, that means that the U.S. Marshals get involved, the military even can get involved, and take those, by court order, the CIA, and imprison them or execute them. Period, the end.
Well, we definitely have a major problem with, again, we don't have a Justice Department. It's simply become a part of the deep state, the Democratic Party. The Justice Department is an arm.
I agree with you, and I do have a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Solution, I'm telling you, man, the solution is this. It's the judges. They can clean the whole thing up. They can clean it up. And you think about this. My brothers and I have given this a lot of thought. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're going after the judge, not in a mean, aggressive kind of a way. We're respecting that the judge has that power, and we're going to the judge. Okay, now here's the deal. Right now, there's one guy in this country, and I happen to know him. Okay, I never met him. There's one guy in this country that has the power to clean it all up. And I appreciate you challenging me here. I encourage you to have the freedom to challenge me on what I'm about to say. But there's this one guy that has the power to clean it all up. And you know who that guy is? You know who that guy is?
I know.
And this might sound completely ridiculous. It's my federal court judge.
Jared C. Bennett.
That's right. And I dare you to say, Rowan, you're nuts, man. What are you talking about? That's a ridiculous thought. Come on, I dare you to say. Come on, take me.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
Well, in other words, if you're saying if your judge does his job,
yes,
and these Supreme Court justices say, okay, look, we don't want to go through all this. We're going to have to let him have a hearing. We're going to have to hear their case. Now, they don't want to hear their case because they've been intimidated. They've been intimidated by when they passed Roe v. Wade, when they overturned Roe v. Wade, you had the FBI allowing and these judges their homes to be protested, and they were threatened and so on and so forth. So they're saying that's why they just gave this case on that death pill that they mailed through the mail because they said, well, you know, let's not push too far in one direction. It's got nothing to do with what is right and what is wrong. It's their hearing. Well, you better not do that because you might have Antifa on your doorstep or burn, loot, and murder on your doorstep. And so this is lawlessness here, and we need integrity. We need honor and integrity. Unfortunately, we don't have that.
Allow me to interrupt here. Now, that's a really good thought. I'm going to add to that. You know who they're more afraid of? And you're right. They were afraid of coming home and getting their houses burned. They, that Roe versus Wade thing, they put that off, man, because they were terrified. You know, but you know who they're more terrified of right now?
Who's that?
My federal court judge.
That is true.
That is absolutely true. They do not want this to go forward.
Roland, can I jump in?
Sure.
Can I just amen on what you're saying here? Roland, this is Ken Cromer. Roland and I have been talking a lot over the last few days, and we were kicking this around today, and it is absolutely true that this lower, inferior court, as they would call it, at the U.S. District Court in Salt Lake City, Jared C. Bennett, has got three Supreme Court justices in his hands.
Hold that right there, Ken. Hold that thought, Ken. Yep. Hold that thought, because we're up against a heartbreak. We'll be right back.
He made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. A man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Alrighty, we are back, and that was the real Joe Clark, my old friend Joe Clark, and he went home to be with the Lord just last year, and yours truly, me, old Pastor Ernie. And so go ahead, Ken, pick it up where you left off.
Yeah, that little break there gives me opportunity to just point out that if anybody's interested while we're speaking here to follow along with what we're talking about, they can go to cedarhillscitizens.org. That's cedarhillscitizens.org, where we have an article posting all of this information, the court case numbers, all the players that are involved. Loy actually just sent a couple of pictures. I didn't get a chance to tell Roland about this. Pictures of the front page of the filing and some other details. So I've already got that posted, and anybody could look at that if they'd like. So
great.
Back to the comment, I was mentioning that Roland and I have been kicking this around. I love talking with Roland. He just inspires me. He's on fire. No wonder his hair's red, you know. And he says, we were kicking around the idea about this judge, Jared C. Bennett. I actually had him as a prosecutor back in 2010. That's another story for another time. But this man does hold the future of three Supreme Court justices in his hands. Now, will he actually side with the Constitution and require them to address the constitutional issues, or will he just fold and cave? You got to know there's going to be a lot of pressure behind the scenes, but we're going to learn pretty quick if this man is an honorable judge and will keep his oath of office or not. We'll find that out.
Or not. And I have a solution to that. All right? This is about we the people. Now, see, now, every judge, you know, they're dealing with a person. They're complaining about the landlord, about how their grass was cut wrong or something like that. But this is one situation that they're not dealing with Roland Brunson and his brothers. Jerry C. Bennett doesn't have a case in front of him just about Roland. Right now, he's probably thinking that. Well, my vision, here's my vision, and here's what I want to see happen.
Good.
Okay? Letters showing up.
Yes.
All over the nation, we the people saying, listen, this is about us. Okay? Not just about Roland. Okay? Roland, you're Jared C. Bennett, you have the flag, you have the power to carry this in the battle and save this country and save our freedom. I want Jared C. Bennett to wake up in the morning, go into his office with boxes full of letters that came in from the post office, boxes and boxes of letters, saying, you gotta let this case continue. You do not stop this case. Let this case be heard. Let it go forward. Boxes and boxes, and have everybody in that whole office be stressed out. What are you going to be doing with all these
Love
letters?
It.
We got boxes and boxes of letters, and he's like, and at home, the last thing he's thinking before he goes to bed is all these letters that he's got to deal with. And he's like talking to his wife, and his wife is like, honey, why are you so stressed out? I'm like, I'm this Roland Brunson guy. He's like, I'm getting letters all over the nation telling me to let this case move forward. They're telling me that they've got to let this case move forward, and I don't know what to do. Well, honey, why don't you just let the case move forward? Well, I'm getting pressure from the justices. Yeah, three people who have no power over you at all compared to we the people. Oh, yeah, well, let him hear that. He can't even sleep at night. He's got so much anxiety going on. He wakes up in the morning. He's like, oh, first thing he thinks of is, how am I going to deal with all the letters coming in all over the nation? And I'm telling you something. These letters actually do work. And so we set up a website, okay, called enoughisenough.me. Not .com, .me. Enough is enough. Enough is enough.me. You go there. And I'm going to ask you your permission with a click of a button. You will give me permission to, in behalf of you, I will send a letter with your name on it, your address, your return address on it, and it will show up the office of Jared C. Bennett of the federal court, okay? And I want boxes of those letters. Now, there are a lot of people out there wondering what to do to make a difference. I made this easy. You want to make a difference when it comes to the freedom of this country? You want to offer the perfect, pure prayer to God, because I believe that the best prayers are the ones who are action. Action, in my opinion, are the greatest prayers on this country. You do one thing, not only will it be a prayer to God and recognizing that He is our Father in heaven and that He inspired the Constitution, you do one thing. You go to that website and you click a button. You pay for the postage. I'm living on a shoestring here. I can't afford the postage. You're willing to pay for postage. That letter will be sent in your behalf, and it will show up at the federal court telling the judge to allow this case to be forward and allow the three justices to answer the complaint and explain in writing why it was important for them to deny me of a hearing when they knew full well they were guilty of treason, and explain why they didn't do that. And I'm telling you, man, we could save this country. And I'm asking everyone to do that.
Roland, didn't you, we were talking earlier, weren't you working on a bunch that had already come in? How many
That's
did you
right,
ship out
man.
Today?
As I was talking to you on the phone, I was printing off another 500 letters. 500
I've
letters
today.
I've already
come in and
I've already come in, man. 500 letters are going to be hitting the Jersey Bennett's office within the next 2 days, man. Well, I want thousands,
hey,
man. I want 100,000.
Hey, Pastor.
Those.
Yeah, yeah.
Pastor,
mm-hmm.
I was talking with Roland when he was working on this, and there's a benefit to having Roland as a friend. I was able to be the guinea pig. I am proud to say that I put the first letter in.
Wow.
Didn't I, Roland?
That's right.
And our friend Tom Fairbanks did the second one.
Listen, though. Listen, fellas, here.
And you can do the next one, Pastor.
This Judge Jared, you send me all that information if you can email me so I can announce it on the air during the week.
It's right here. It's just what Roland said. It's enoughisenough.com. M-E.
Enough.
The letters M and E.
Enough is enough.
Dot me.
Okay.
You go there, and the letter's right there, and you hit. You can hit the submit button, and it'll take you through the process. It is super simple.
Okay. Let me tell you this too, because you see, this judge Jared, Jared C. Bennett is going to be getting pressure from every state Supreme Court in the country. These judges are going to say, you can't do that if you don't open a can of worms. If you do that, if you allow that, they're going to do that to us. And that's exactly what they need to do. They need to do that to.
You're right. You're right. They need to do this. Absolutely need to do this. It's the right thing to do. It's a beautiful thing to do. We have given Judge Jared C. Bennett the powerful legal authority to rule in our favor by stopping them from this case being dismissed. We've given him the power. We've given him the other link. We've dotted the I. We've crossed everything for him to easily, effortlessly rule in our favor by allowing this case to move forward and allowing. That's all we're asking. We're not asking Judge Jersey Bennett to put him in prison. No, we're just allowing, Judge, please let them defend themselves.
They have a right to defend themselves, don't they?
They have the right. Give them that right to defend themselves, to explain why they were innocent. You know, let them explain why they were innocent. Let the whole country hear their plea. If they're right, if their position is strong, let them be heard. Let everyone shut up in this country and let them hear and explain why it was so important that they broke the oath of office and then they committed this prison of treason. Why it was so important.
Here's what we need to do, Roland. We need to talk a little bit about why we know without a doubt that there was the extreme election fraud. I mean extreme election fraud. And so, I wanted to start out on election night. On election night, I was watching it when around midnight or so, we saw the numbers inverted. But President Trump was way ahead. And all of a sudden, boom, the numbers flipped upside down. And I had written the numbers down someplace, the exact numbers. Right before my eyes, we saw this happen.
Right before your eyes. Absolutely.
Now, here's the other thing. Look, it comes, the fake news media, just insults our intelligence. Here's Joe Biden hanging down in the basement. When he went out to speak, one of the times he was speaking, there was 12 cars, 12 people in cars came out. Here, Trump he's pulling out crowds of 60, 70,000 people. So we're looking at Trump, and in Arizona, he had a 90-mile-long Trump train, 90-mile-long Trump train, okay, all across the country. We're seeing huge crowds come out for Trump. We're seeing Biden in his basement, turning out these very, very little, small crowds, right? But they're, again, in the election fraud, we had stacks. I had stacks and stacks of evidence. In fact, we got some right here showing you about the election fraud, especially just recently there in Arizona, the election fraud there. 8,000 ballots where they found were, again, they were phony ballots that were counted. Unbelievable, the election fraud that did take place. And then they're trying to tell us that there was no election fraud. That is a real insult to our intelligence.
A real insult. Mm-hmm. Have you seen 2,000 Mules by Dinesh D'Souza?
We sent out several hundred of those out of here. Oh, we mailed out, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, all the evidence
is there.
It's a
great film. You can't watch that film and know that the jig is up. And they know it. That's the thing. And it's time to stop being nice people. We need to be patriots and stand up and defend our God-given rights.
Amen.
God-given rights. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's what Lori. Lori, are you still there?
I'm here.
Bringing justice back to America, huh?
That's right. I'm loving what I'm hearing.
Exactly. And so there's a lot.
I was talking to a liberal. I got to tell you this. I was talking to a liberal, you know, about the 2000 Mule movie and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, it's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of garbage. And I says, hey, for all we know, it was President Trump that was behind the 2000 Mules. And you know what the liberal said? Well, there should be an investigation.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, well, now we're on the same page. What do you know?
Oh, gosh.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you fellows for being here. We're coming towards the end of the program tonight. But, you know, listen, we got to keep what you're doing there in prayer. And, Lori, the good thing, we're seeing action, people all across the country. I know where I live, I mean, we're on every level, we're fighting the deep state on every level here.
Mm-hmm. And so, Roland, I agree with you. You mentioned earlier that you're seeing a rise of people starting to stand up, rise up. And it's on the local level. And I said this about the November elections. There was a red wave, but nobody was looking in the obvious place. And that was the school board races. There were more school board races flipped in November than in any other past election because nobody paid attention to the school board races. They were non-existent. But now we see people on the local level because people are starting to feel emboldened that they can do this. And that's what we need to happen to people, just like what you guys are doing. And
amen.
We need to fan the flames. Pray for you guys. And,
well,
you know, we've got
Pastor,
people fasting and praying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of prayer, I have a request, Pastor.
Yeah.
Now that I've got you on the phone here, it would be a beautiful, beautiful experience if you were to be willing to offer a prayer.
And well, that's what we do this night, this time, and every night. How much time do I have, Style? All right. This is what we do at this time every night. We do offer up these prayers. And we offer up prayer for, we give the invitation. And we can do that right now. In fact, all of you folks, now they see, there's power in prayer. There's a lot of power. If you listen to what God's Word, the Bible says, we see it. Now, many people all across the country from coast to coast are listening to us tonight. You're sitting there, and believe me, God knows it. And if you join with us, he says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And so let's pray that this judge holds up this case, that Jared C. Bennett does the right thing. Mike Pence didn't when he had the chance. But he does the right thing, and he lets this case move forward. And let's pray, too, that we continue to fight, that we can remove all of those members of Congress that committed treason, especially that whole select committee, that the wicked people, and that cop, that dirty cop Byrd, who shot and killed Miss Babbitt.
Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah, who murdered, and the other lady that they beat to death out there on the steps. So let's go and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, we want to hold this all up. You know, you've showed us that resistance to treason is obedience. And it's a wicked thing, Lord. Innocent people, they murdered. They murdered people. High treason was committed by the deep state, by very, very corrupt politicians, by very corrupt cops. And Father God, we would ask this, Lord God, that you would, first of all, you would let us get that case into court, that Judge Jared Bennett would do the right thing, Lord. Not the expedient thing, but the right thing, that he would obey God rather than men. We would pray, Father God, too, that we would be able to get back, to take our country back, one nation under God, the way you gave it to us, by removing all of these corrupt people. We've seen, we no longer have a Democratic Party. It's going totally anti-Christ. It's going totally communist. Lord, as you know, we're seeing wickedness at unprecedented levels here. Such an anti-Christ system rising up. Now, Lord, you've raised us up for such a time as this. We're here because we're here to stand fast, to push back against this wickedness and this evilness. And so, Lord, I would pray that you would raise up your people. I would pray that you would hear the prayers of your people, Father God. And Lord, that your people would repent like you've told them in 2 Chronicles 17. That they'd listen all across the country tonight, would ask you to forgive us our sin, and would ask you, Lord, to restore our country, to remove these wicked people, these wicked, wicked people. And for people out there listening to us tonight, many of you out there listening, you might be driving in your car or sitting in a restaurant or something, and you're hearing a radio. But let me tell you something. God's Word, the Bible, is the only absolute perfect source of truth. There's the only thing you can completely and totally depend upon is the Word of God. It can't be broken. God has said that. And if you're listening to me and you have not received Christ as your Savior, you're walking a tightrope over a burning lake of fire. And you know what? The Bible makes it very clear. Tonight, all across this world tonight, many, many people are going to run out of tomorrows. All across this world, millions of people tonight will die. Millions will be born, but millions will die. And they've got, the vast majority of them have no intention of dying. But they don't realize it's not their call. That tonight is the night their soul will be required of them. And if you're listening to me tonight and you have not received Christ as your Savior, don't take the chance that you're going to have it tomorrow, because you might not. And what you would do, the Lord Jesus, he made it very easy for you. He made it very easy. He took your place. He substitutionary death on that cross. He died a horrible death. But he was the only one that could have done it. And he did it. And now, here's what he tells you to do. You pray to the Father. You will pray to the Father. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins. Then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations at all. The Lord Jesus said, you must put him before mother and father, brother and sister. He's got to be first. When he took your place upon that cross, you were first. And now he's telling you to do the same thing. And if you will do that, then God will always honor that commitment. And you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer. You will become an heir of the kingdom. And you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, you have got God's word on this. So I would do this tonight. I wouldn't wait. Pray to the Father, then ask for the Son. We're out of time for tonight. And I want to thank all of you folks for being here with us tonight. It was a great program. And, well, as when we get to this point every night, we always say good night.
Good night.
Say good night.
Good night.
God,
amen.
God bless.
Bless.
And then
bless.
And now this is the important part. Ready? Always, 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 always keep fighting.
Keep fighting.
The fight.
Fight.
The fight. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.